Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 13th in the year of our Lord 2020. 2020, if you will. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful resolution and restitution of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. R.I.P. Rest in peace, my friend. One of the best drummers in the world has passed away, ladies and gentlemen. Neil Peart. He was with Rush, the rock band, for literally decades. Canadian band formed in what, the early 70s, late 60s? Well-known band. One of the best drummers in the world, they say. This is a drum solo. He was live in Frankfurt, Germany for this drum solo. Just incredible on the drums, ladies and gentlemen. Plays for 8 straight minutes. I only cut into the drum solo part way to kind of highlight what's going on here. But the gentleman passed away. <laughs> 67 years old. Died of brain cancer. Rest in peace, Mr. Neil Peart. Few rock and roll drummers can drum like this, ladies and gentlemen. And at the end of the drum solo, they even dovetail it into some more interesting, I don't know what you call them in this case. Usually in guitars, they call them guitar riffs. In this case, what? Check it out. This. just a little bit more here. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Rest in peace, Mr. Neil Peart of Rush, died at 67 years old of brain cancer. Sad tale to tell. Our prayers are with his family, and I normally don't spend that much time, but you know what? That was one of the best drummers in the world right there. RIP. Rest in peace, Mr. Neil Peart. Rush band member dies at 67. And so we had to play part of that drum solo live. Incredible stuff. Kurt, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt, it's been a little bit, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. I had a crazy travel schedule. Was off for a few days, but back live in the saddle, ready to rock and roll. We've got our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, riding shotgun today. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
Oh, man. What do you think? Neil Peart passed away, sir. The Rush drummer.
Yeah, awesome drummer. I didn't know who he was, but sounds great. Wonderful drummer.
One of the best drummers in the world, by the way, they claim. And the ability to cross genres there, quite interesting, to say the least. They're going to have a big old event in Davos coming up here, January 21st through the 24th. It's a climate change event. I don't know how much you've heard about it. But far-left extremist Greta Thunberg, 17 years old, demanded in a new op-ed that world leaders need to cave to her anti-capitalist agenda right now. Not later, but right now. As they prepare to meet in Davos for the 50th anniversary. They call it the World Economic Forum. And she says, quote, "We demand at this year's forum participants from all companies, banks, institutions, and governments need to immediately halt all investments in fossil fuels. Exploration, extraction, subsidies." I mean, she goes on and on with a big old plethora. "Immediately and completely divest from all fossil fuels." She wrote in an op-ed in The Guardian. She says, quote, "We don't want these things done by 2050, 2030, or even 2021. We want this done now, as in right now," she finishes. Do you want to respond to that first, Lowell?
Well, I don't think, you know, climate change is one of the world's biggest hoax. They keep telling us lie over and over. And in order to get us to kowtow to the world authorities, but basically it's another wealth redistribution scheme, just like so many others that have come and gone. And we would do well, of course, to be good stewards of the land, of this earth. And that means take care of it. That means you don't dump your garbage out, but you take care of it. And everybody needs to do his own part, but we don't need climate change, you know, carbon footprint, taxation, and options that get traded away to other countries so they can dirty the air from there, but still we keep our air clean here. It just doesn't make any sense to me, Sam.
I bring this all up, though, because just imagine if we were to do exactly what she said, basically halt all access and investment in and funding of and exploration of, and I mean, every other word under the sun you can use, fossil fuels now, not in 2030 or not a preparation or a ramp up or ramp down time, whatever term you want to use, right now. Just imagine that, Kurt. You want to respond?
Well, one of the best responses I've seen is lately there was a story from a number of sources. I did see it on Breitbart, and the headline reads, "Glacier National Park removes glaciers gone by 2020 signs." This is a while back. They had to put up all these signs. Man, you better hurry up and see the glaciers before they're all gone because of the global warming. And doggone, it's 2020 now, and there's still glaciers, Sam. Doggone it.
Yeah, the truth hurts there, buddy. But again, it goes with Al Gore's ideas, too. He was talking about, you know, the environment would be ruined or ended as well, and nobody's really halting the con game by calling them out on this. Now, Ocasio-Cortez says in 12 years it'll be a meltdown. Greta Thunberg saying we got to do something right now. On one hand, you could laugh and say these guys are a joke. On the other hand, they're literally meeting in global meetings, this time in Davos, for the 50th anniversary of this stuff, folks.
And when you look at this, they all walked there too. You know, I mean, that's how they got there.
Well, Greta's going to go there by boat and stuff, Kurt. She's not going to, you know.
Well, she should just hitchhike, but not ride with anybody but a bicyclist. You know, I mean.
Well, it's overseas, Kurt. You got to take a boat.
Why? Well, why a boat, Sam?
You could do a duck bike.
Swim.
You know about duck bikes, don't you?
Might have some kind of no. Well, I think I have.
They're really duck boats, Kurt. They're not duck bikes. I'm just joking to highlight your point with, you know, the duck boats are the ones that are on the land, and then all of a sudden they just go into the water, right? I went on one of those in Boston.
Duck, here comes a wave. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, pretty interesting. But I look at this and I say, if this were to happen immediately right now, just imagine what would happen to our society. Just what I'll tell you a quick story when we get back. Then we'll move on to other topics, okay? Liberty Roundtable Live, I'm Sam Bushman. Kurt Crosby's with me. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, is with me. This is hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, a quick story. We got back from a trip, and we went to a family member's house, and they had forgot to turn on their heat, and so their house was 48 degrees when we got there. Outside, it was much colder than that, in the 20s. I bring this all up, though, at what would have happened. We would have had to go out and find wood or something or coal or, you know, the solar panels aren't going to work. It's nighttime, right? Super cold in the house. What would you do if we didn't have any fossil fuels? You got a single older woman living in the home by herself. We were there to kind of help get things cranked up. What we did was we cranked on the heat, and we also got some plug-in electric heaters and added to the heat. And literally we turned the house from 48 degrees to like 61 degrees in 3 or 4 hours. And then overnight, by morning, it was 71 nice degrees inside. That's a blessing of fossil fuels. What would it have been like without them, Kurt? You want to respond to that real quick?
Well, Sam, I mean, she could have just been outside in a tent, you know, and it would just be so much better for her our whole society, don't you know, Sam? I mean, it's just crazy stuff, but, you know, we have these people that are running around and, you know, somebody gives them a voice, but it's just, insane, isn't it?
I think it's insane, and I think it's, you know, I almost am tempted, though, to say we ought to make a couple of changes to prove it. In other words, just imagine if a couple of cities were to say, well, let's conduct an experiment in America and show people for like 48 hours or something what it would be like. Because I don't think people have any idea what it would be like. Instantly, your grocery stores wouldn't have any food, Kurt. Okay, because there'd be no way to get food to the store shelves. Right now, most of the time, it comes on diesel.
The whole obesity problem, though, you know, I mean, Sam, I mean, so there's...
Yeah, dead people,
Yeah, everybody's assuming the wrong temperature, et cetera.
But you wouldn't have any food. The second thing is you wouldn't have any heat in the winter. You wouldn't have any cooling in the summer. You wouldn't have hot water because I don't know how you'd heat up your water, lol.
Yeah. Well, so here, let me chime in on this. There's two thoughts that I had. Well, number one comes right out of the Doctrine and Covenants where the Lord tells Joseph.
Yeah, let me just stop you just so people know what you're talking about because this is an international show. The Doctrine and Covenants is a book of Scripture. That is with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So the members of the church believe in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, another witness of Jesus Christ. So two testaments of Jesus Christ. There's also other scriptures. One of them is called the Doctrine and Covenants, which was given to modern prophets literally in our day. And since the gospel of Jesus Christ was restored in the 1830s. So I bring that up just to kind of summarize. And in that book, Lowell, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Right. Thank you very much. There is a verse of Scripture where the Lord speaks and says, "For the earth is full, and there is enough and to spare. Yea, I prepared all things, and have given unto the children of men to be agents unto themselves." Right? And so, in other words, he's saying, I built this earth, put it together, and there is enough, more than enough, right, for you all who are here. And so, you know, we may think that we're going to run out of fossil fuel and 2050 or 2075 or 2100 or whatever, but there is always more than enough here and spare, you know, talking about energy, so forth. Now, it's also, and here's my other thought, Sam and Kurt, and that is that the you know, entrepreneurs continue to improve technology. And so there was a car that almost was, but it got shut down because of the fossil producing, you know, companies, they shut it down. But I don't know if you ever heard, but the Volkswagen built a car, and I'm just reading it from Eric Peters' Auto right now. This car was powered by a 1 liter diesel engine, achieved 170 miles per gallon. Now, when it engaged its hybrid drive, which was, you know, diesel plus electricity, right, the mileage rose to an incredible 235 miles per gallon. Put another way, on about 2 gallons of diesel fuel, this VW would go almost 500 miles before it needed more diesel. In other words, it would need only 2 gallons of diesel fuel to travel another 500 miles. Now, why didn't you hear about this? Why isn't this car on the market? Well, as you can guess, those who sell, you know, fossil energy did not want this kind of efficiency on the roads, because it would cut into their revenue stream. So it's not that we don't have enough, Sam. It's that those people who want to be selling energy, they want to keep selling energy at a big profit. They don't want us to minimize the amount of energy we use.
You're right on that. They would claim, too, that there's no way to maintain the roads if we could all drive literally for free and things like that. And so there's a balancing act for sure. And I get that we're supposed to take care of the earth that God gave us. We are stewards thereof. And we need to go to and take care of it and those kind of things. I get that and agree. The problem that I have with this is, you know, when you get these people that are governmental and or like a Greta Thunberg rocketed to leadership at 17 years old, virtually a know-nothing autistic girl to some degree, you know, and then she's got Asperger's from what I understand. And then you put her in this position as if she's going to demand the world do this and that. They gave her carte blanche opportunity to speak in front of the United Nations in the United States. And now she's basically, you know, a planet rocket scientist, even though she has no degrees and no real expertise. My issue is, hey, there's one thing to want to take care of the earth and take care of the environment. And I think that's a worthy cause. On the other hand, what they're doing is they're using it for political purposes. They're using it for control mechanisms. And they're using it to play judge, jury, and executioner. Under the threat of an absolute meltdown of you know, The Sky Is Falling, Chicken Little-esque, lack of science propaganda. And we need to reject that, ladies and gentlemen, because the real solutions that could be provided are not even being talked about. I mean, I believe there's people who have technologies. In fact, I met with one of them a week or so ago. People have technologies that they want to bring to the table that would really change the game environmentally and otherwise. But you know what? Government will have none of it. And I asked this person, I said, have you talked to Donald Trump? Have you talked to... No. None of these people will listen. In fact, all they're doing is suing the socks off these people to try to stop them from letting their technologies come to fruition in the marketplace. And so I don't believe these discussions are genuine, but the reason that I bring it up and spend so much time about it today, or time on it today, is because these people are meeting in Davos, literally meeting around the world to plan globally what they're going to do. This is their 50th year of meeting. And they're supposed to be putting together a resolution. And it's very, very concerning when you have AOC in Congress. Literally, they took a nobody, made her a rock star overnight. Same thing with Greta Thunberg and others. They're literally creating their new leadership right before our very eyes. And the sad part is these people have power. So beware as we have, earthquakes in Puerto Rico. And we have huge events in the Philippines. What's that called?
Typhoon?
Say again.
Typhoon or hurricane?
No, well, in the Philippines, they had something erupt. What's that called?
A volcano?
Volcano eruption. Okay, so there is climate change going on. And I believe the more wicked the people are around the world, the greater climate change you'll see, because God will take off his gloves and he uses these things to bring us to remembrance of our God. And they're basically taking God out of the mix and then just acting like, hey, you're ruining the planet, lol, and therefore we got to put all these things in place that will literally control and manipulate your life in ways that advance the causes of global government at your expense. And that's what we got to reject, ladies and gentlemen. The answer is to turn to God. The answer is to take care of the environment the best we can. And the answers are to shut down government tyrannical thugs who want to stop real technologies from coming to the table. Well, while I was checking out Greta Thunberg's belligerent, just unhinged views and realizing that she has more power than we think she does as she goes to Davos. Lowell Nelson was hanging out at the Eagle Forum event last Saturday, weren't you, Lowell?
Yes, I did, Sam. And Kurt Cosby was there, of course, too. Kurt did the printing of materials for the convention, by the way. Beautiful eight-page color program, as well as probably a lot of the other flyers and so forth that I was greeted with a smile and this marvelous program. I had a family commitment in the morning, so I missed all of the politicians. I wanted to hear Senator Mike Lee, but missed him also, missed John Curtis, Rob Bishop, Chris Stewart, and one of my heroes, Stan Ellsworth, talking. He has great stories. Loved to listen to him. But a couple others I missed. But I did, was there for the afternoon when we talked about some of the more nitty-gritty substantive issues of the day. And one of them really caught me by surprise. I don't know if this will catch you by surprise, because you guys are pretty astute, but Gail Ruzicka, who is the president of Eagle Forum here in Utah, showed a clip of Phyllis Schlafly talking about the dangers of the Equal Rights Amendment of several decades ago. Now, Phyllis Schlafly died in 2016, wonderful woman. Did a lot to stop ERA, and then Gail began talking about why we should oppose the ERA now.
We're back. Kind of scary, huh? We'll talk about it in seconds with Lowell Nelson, ladies and gentlemen. CampaignForLiberty.org. He was live at the Eagle Forum Convention in Salt Lake City. Greater details on his reporting coming up on your favorite hard-hitting talk station.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump reportedly authorized the killing of Iran's top general 7 months ago. That's according to an NBC News report, saying that current and former administration officials say the president would have to sign off on killing General Qassem Soleimani if Iran's aggression resulted in American death. Soleimani was killed in a drone strike in Iraq 10 days ago after an American contractor was killed in Iraq by Iranian-backed militia forces. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying Democrats are about to meet to decide when the Senate will get the articles of impeachment against President Trump.
I would be consulting with my members this week on Tuesday morning at our regular caucus meeting that we would vote to send them over, and we'll determine in our meeting when we send them over.
She spoke on ABC's This Week, and this is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance, from low-cost term to business or estate coverage, or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830. 877-439-8830. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
In Iran, Tehran police have reportedly fired live rounds at demonstrators who were protesting against the government yesterday. They're angry about its shootdown of a Ukrainian jet that had over 80 Iranian students on board. Witnesses say several people were wounded, and cell phone video circulated by activists shows bloodstains on the pavement. The Justice Department is expected to announce today that the government will expel over a dozen Saudi service members serving at American military bases, reportedly in connection with a Saudi Air Force lieutenant's killing of three U.S. service members during training at Naval Air Station Pensacola in Florida last month. At least five people were dead in separate shootings in the city of Baltimore over the weekend. 12 people were shot on Saturday alone. Police say the shootings are deeply disturbing and troubling. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Yeah, the question you might have is, why the heck are people talking about the ERA at the Eagle Forum? Well,
yeah, that's what caught me by surprise, Sam. Why in the world are we talking about the ERA? Well, I leaned over to somebody at my table, and she said, well, the ERA supporters are right now, this year, trying to resurrect it in almost every state of the union this year, including Utah. And so, basically, they want the ERA that failed decades ago to actually be passed by several more states so that they can then, you know, send it to the states for ratification. Never mind the fact that the normally accepted time limit for ratification of any constitutional amendment is 7 years. Well, the ERA failed in 1979, right? So that's like almost 40 years ago, well over 40 years ago. And five states voted to rescind their earlier approval of ERA back then. Right, so I think they came within four states of approving the ERA back in the 70s. Well, five states then, during that period, had rescinded their earlier approval. And so the current effort is to get, you know, those five plus the four, so they need at least nine states to go along with the others that in the 70s ratified the ERA. And they think that they can then force the ERA on the United States.
And just so people understand, ERA, it stands for Equal Rights Amendment, but it wouldn't provide for equal rights at all. In fact, it would be hostilely abusive to women, sir.
Exactly. In fact, the ERA doesn't even mention women. But what it does, it says that you can't differentiate or discriminate on the basis of gender, right, or the basis of sex, which means that then, you know, today in our society, women are protected to some degree more than men when it comes to, like, workplace employment. For example, you can't order a woman to do a lot of heavy lifting and manual work and labor. Women often get leave for pregnancy and for childbirth and so forth. There are many, and this is as it should be, because there's obviously a difference between men and women, and women, they bear children. And so we, in our society, in our culture, we value women and their role in the family. But the ERA would strip them of those, of that protection, of those rights or those benefits, those privileges, so to speak. That's one of the dangers of the ERA. Another one, which I find abhorrent, is that they would then be open for the draft. They could be conscripted into military service and forced to serve on front lines in battle, just like men do. I think that would be a horrible thing for our wives, our daughters, and granddaughters to have to face. You know, I think men are uniquely designed to fight, and women are uniquely designed to nurture. And I just don't think it's wise to confuse the two. And then finally, there's 5 or 10 reasons, but I'm just stating 2 or 3 of the highlights. The last big reason, in my opinion, that the ERA must be defeated is that it would overturn all restrictions on abortion, including including partial birth abortion. I've lost my place here in my.
Well, let's say it like this: if women have this idea that they are absolutely equal, that they have every complete right over their body, that there is no moral component to their decisions except for what they desire or choose, without any consequences at all. If you strip it down to that fundamental reality, we pretend it's about choice, but we lie. We deceive ourselves because it's about denying the consequences of God's procreative act. It's about murdering. It's about, okay, and if we replace these words and these realities with fluffy terms like, oh, she can choose and do what she wants, it's her body, and therefore she has these ultimate rights, what you do eventually is you strike at the heart of the family and destroy the fundamental unit of society, Lowell.
Yeah, absolutely right.
How's that for a recovery, sir? Come on.
Okay, awesome. Another big, I just can't, you know, I thought I was just going to hit the highlights, but here's another highlight. I can't let this go unsaid. The ERA would erode the privacy and the safety of women and girls by removing gender designations for bathrooms, locker rooms, showers, jails, hospital rooms, and so forth. I mean, remember when Obama, just by executive edict, told schools, Title X schools, or Title IX schools, that they had to allow, you know, anybody, boys or girls, if they wanted to identify as girls, and they could use the locker rooms, the shower facilities, along with the girls, right? I mean, and there are some schools and colleges that are allowing men to participate in girls' athletic programs and compete. And it's just absolutely wrong, Sam. It's the ERA. Well, and one other big one here is that Section 2 of the ERA, of course, gives Congress authority to enact the provisions of the ERA, and thus state legislatures would lose their authority to govern in domestic issues, right? Family law.
The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is this attempt to destroy the family, to destroy male and female, created he, meaning God, them, to turn us away from God on the altar of this pervasive, deceptive, dishonest, immoral rejection of science viewpoint of gender. And the male and female relationship, pitting them against each other, etc. They started with ERA and it failed flat on its face. It got flat out hardcore shut down. Then what they've done is taken an end run round, and now they're coming back to the core and saying, hey, we've written all this legislative reality. Now that we've got a lot more backing for our causes through social media propaganda, and we've manipulated the public and the court of public opinion, now we're going to back into codifying this into law. And the ERA is the horse they're going to try to ride in to do it. The point is, eagle form highlights this. Don't, I repeat, don't let it happen. It will abuse women, not protect them, and it will literally obliterate the family. That's the summary, Lowell.
Yeah, well put, Sam. Absolutely right. Thank you.
And these psychopaths have got to be stopped. And we're not interested in any violence to stop them, but we are interested in clearly articulating what's going on and then making sure we're aware. They're trying to do a sneak while y'all are tied up in Greta Thunberg and tied up in who knows what else, impeachment and whatever. Then they want to go ahead and slip this in backdoor style. We got to prevent that as well. All right, we need to talk about gubernatorial candidates real quick as well. They were on hand, at least four out of six in Utah, right?
That's right, Sam. Two of the six were not there. John Huntsman, who was introduced and endorsed by John Dougal, was not there, nor was Amy Winder Newton, who had prior commitments, those two. The four who were present were Spencer Cox, who is currently serving as Utah's lieutenant governor, Greg Hughes, who served in the Utah House for 16 years, several years as its speaker.
In other words, so far, two government insiders.
Yes. Jeff Birmingham, who is a businessman. He's never been in elected public office before, but has over the years, over the past 10, 12 years, built an industry, jobs, several companies. He claimed up to 4,000 jobs over the past 10 years in his speech. And then finally, Thomas Wright, who also has never held public office. He is the former chair of the Utah Republican Party. He's the current national committee man for the Utah Republican Party, but he's never served in public office either. So those are the four who spoke. Each was given 5 minutes to introduce himself. Gail then, after having solicited questions from those who attended the convention, chose five of the questions to ask and gave each of the four their 90 seconds to respond to each of the questions. Now, we're not going to go through all of the questions, but I mean, all of their answers.
Well, let's brief everybody on the quick questions, though, really quick, and I'll answer them in 2 seconds. How's that?
Perfect. Would you sign a life at conception bill, Sam?
Yes.
How do you feel about conversion therapy? This is gender conversion.
I think the government should have nothing to do with gender conversion therapy. Nevertheless, I don't think it's a governmental discussion, but I personally believe that we need to teach people who they are as sons and daughters of God and the biblical reality of gender and identity. And I think we cannot change our gender physiologically. It's scientifically impossible. And therefore, I stand with God, male and female created to them. And I think we ought to teach people that reality. And then I think we ought to leave it up to the family.
Awesome. What about health care, Sam?
I think government needs to be completely out of health care. They have no business in it. There's no constitution statewide and or on the federal level that allows government to be involved in health care whatsoever. And I reject the socialism it becomes the gateway drug to, sir.
Notice that none of the four candidates answered like you did, Sam. Every single one mentioned that various problems that they would tinker with to try to solve, make it more palatable, but not a single candidate talked about eliminating this particular welfare program.
I think it's the gateway drug, because what you do is you find a cause that seems so normal. Well, by golly, don't you care about people's health? They pick something so bombshellish to then backdoor that as the socialism, nose of the camel in the tent idea. And then once you agree to that, though, then the only question is, how far can they push the line? I reject it, stand against it. No, I agree we need transparency and pricing and all those other tinkering fixes, but we got to reject government health care on its face. And those who don't do that, in my opinion, aren't worthy of serving in office, because they'll violate their oath the second they get elected. Quick pause. Sam, Kurt, Lowell, this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, baby.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Lowell Nelson's with us. We're talking about an Eagle Forum event last Saturday asking gubernatorial candidates what they believe. I believe that health care, education, and services for the elderly, like Social Security and Medicaid or anything else, I think they're all gateway drugs to flat-out hardcore socialism, which is another road that leads to communism, Lowell. I'll blatantly say that, sir.
Yeah, absolutely right, Sam. I agree with you. Unfortunately, none of the gubernatorial candidates see it your way.
So, yeah, that's why I won't be elected anytime soon, sir.
The next question was about SB 54, which in Utah in 2014 basically told political parties that they had to allow anybody to come along who wanted to, designate themselves with or associate themselves with any political party. They could just gather signatures of voters in the state and be on that party's primary. So in other words, taking away from the parties the ability to choose how they're going to choose their nominees. So
in other words, the delegate system that literally vetted candidates and protected Americans from big money politics in Utah literally got circumvented by that. And the question is, where do you stand on it? I stand completely against this idea that we can circumvent the delegate system that was so brilliantly put in place with checks and balances and appropriate vetting and everything else. And I don't want to turn it over to big money and politics because we basically disable one of the checks and balances and move more towards a democracy style government, which I completely reject, sir.
Perfect.
Can I be more clear?
That was perfect. All four candidates would agree with you, Sam. However, two of them surprised me when they said that they actually used the phrase repeal and replace.
Uh-oh, dangerous. That just means they want to sound like they're against it, but they're not really.
Red flags. Jumped up on that one, absolutely.
Amen to that, all right. Any more?
Parental rights in education and in health care. What do you think about parental rights?
Well, I think parental rights stand supreme. God gave parents charge over children, not government. And so I simply say that the problem is, again, we use these gateway drugs of socialism, and then we suggest that government has authority over children. I say parents have rights that are supreme, barring probable cause, which should maybe trigger investigation. And then literally, if there's abuse or violation of individuals, in other words, very extreme circumstances, then something must be done. But for the most part, government needs to stay out of it, and parental responsibilities reign supreme, sir.
Now, here are two questions that did not get asked to the candidates, but which,
by the way, these are questions Lowell brought. The other were softball questions. Lowell brought some real questions to the table, baby.
Yeah. Well, at least I tried to bring hardball questions. So let's see how hard these are. Number one, if elected governor, and if you swear an oath of fidelity to the U.S. Constitution and to the Utah Constitution, will you adhere to Article 1, Section 29 of the Utah State Constitution, which defines marriage as the legal union between a man and a woman, and instruct county clerks not to issue a marriage license to persons of the same gender?
Yes, I would, sir.
Wow.
Without hesitation, without equivocation, doesn't mean I want any hostility to anybody else who believes different than I do. However, I stand with the time-tested constitutional realities to which we subscribe. In other words, I wouldn't let judges just upend that. I think those judges should have been impeached. Again, they upended precedent, they rejected court case history, they rejected the laws of God, and I would certainly stand for the carrying out and the supporting of the traditional God-ordained family. Absolutely, without hesitation, sir.
Oh, you rock, Sam. Number two question that I had hoped to ask, which did not get asked, was this. Would you support or oppose a bill that requires children to receive the CDC-scheduled vaccinations in order to attend school? Why? Or if the general government passed such a mandate, would you enforce it or ignore it?
So I would say we have a dual sovereignty in America. The federal government has authority over very limited defined constitutional guidelines. Go read it for the list, if you will. Everything else is left to the states and the people respectively. So the federal government has very narrow defined powers. We have very broad powers in the state of Utah. I would reject any effort to force the jab. I'm going to say that again, to force the jab on anyone. I would respect the rights of parents and individuals to decide as they will. I would push for transparency in all laws regarding the realities of vaccinations. And I would allow doctors, physicians, as well as parents to determine what's best for their children and to take action accordingly. And if we're going to discuss a woman's right to her body, I'm going to discuss everyone's right to their conscience. And their conscience is the most prized private property possession we all have. And I would not force religion or vaccinations on anyone, sir. And I will do everything within my power to reject that false narrative that suggests that government somehow has eminent domain over your conscience, your mind, your heart, and your body. I reject it and will do everything within my power to ensure parental rights and responsibilities in this regard. What do you say to that?
I love it. It's interesting to me, Sam, that you and I and Kurt probably all agree on your answer to these questions, but I guarantee you that the gubernatorial candidates will struggle with these questions, and that's why I wanted them asked. I'm going to try again at the Lincoln Day dinner here in Utah County, which is coming up sometime in this month. To get these questions.
All right, you let us know how that goes. And if any of these gubernatorial candidates want to come on the radio, we can have a long form, me, you, and Kurt can have a long form discussion with them. If they're willing, the invitation is open to all six of them, sir.
Cool. Yeah, I'll extend that. That'd be cool to have them on.
Please do so. We would love it. All right, we don't have enough time for this, but there are three articles talking about war, about Iran, etc. One, Max Blumenthal. Two, Larry Johnson. Three, Scott Ritter. They're all at ronpaulinstitute.org, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to check them out, please do. In the meantime, Lowell's going to give you a little bit of an update. Iran's Soleimani visit Iraq.
In peace. Yes, and see, this is a blockbuster. You're not hearing this on the lamestream media, but he went there to help coordinate a stand down of hostilities between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And see, Iraq was facilitating this. In fact, Trump even praised Iraq's prime minister for facilitating the peace talks. And then hours later, the drone came and struck and killed this Soleimani. And so it was just like stabbing him in the back, right? Publicly praising him for facilitating this peace mission and then taking him out once he got there, Sam. That's what you're not.
So the bottom line is this was a peace mission. They claim that he was ready to go ahead and attack four sites. There's no evidence whatsoever of that. And again, Kurt says, hey, we don't have the facts on this and we don't have the inside intel. I agree. All we can do is analyze it from afar, sadly. But there are folks that are saying, hey, you know what? He was visiting in peace. Well, we then commit the murder. That dovetails into this idea that we've been pitching in America forever that Iran is the world's worst state sponsor of terrorism. Larry Johnson rejects that narrative as well.
He says the facts do not lie, and yet everybody says that Iran is the biggest sponsor of state terrorism, but in fact, the U.S. is probably the biggest sponsor of state terrorism. And so he says, look at the facts. Even you can go to the U.S. State Department's own website, which claims that Iran is the worst state sponsor of terrorism. Then it lists the groups that Iran has funded, such as Hezbollah and Hamas, right? But then in the statistical annex of the State Department's website, no deaths or casualties are attributed to the groups supported by Iran. It's incredible, Sam. The Taliban was responsible for over 8,500 deaths and 5,000 injuries, 25% of the total casualties attributed to terrorism globally in 2018, right? And it listed all of the groups like ISIS and Al-Shabaab. And
well, according to Donald, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama created, they're the founders of ISIS anyway.
Absolutely right. Not a single group had killed, not a single group supported by Iran was responsible for these deaths or casualties, Sam. Not a single group.
But this murder literally upped the ante and allowed Iran to show their missile technology off to the world, though, and send a very clear message.
Yeah, because their response to Trump's killing assassination of Soleimani was 22 ballistic missiles went from Iran. They were shot from Iran into the neighboring country of Iraq, targeting the huge U.S. air base at Al Asad in western Iraq and the U.S. consulate in the city of Erbil in Iraqi Kurdistan. But they notified Iraq 2 hours before the missiles were launched so that Iraq could tell the military commanders there, the U.S. military commanders, to get their people out of the way. They did this on purpose, Sam, and for good reason, because then these missiles did not kill a single soul.
The bottom line is, we have more capability than you might think, world stage. You better believe it. Here's the proof. By the way, we told everybody to get out of the way because we don't want war, but we want to highlight that this can get serious. Let's please stop now.
Yeah. And I think it worked, Sam, because Trump did back down. You know, even though his rhetoric said we're going to bomb you into the Stone Age, both to Iraq and to Iran, but he fortunately and happily, I'm happy, you know, at this point, it appears as though he has backed down. And I just am so grateful that Iran did what they did. They demonstrated their missile capability, its pinpoint accuracy. They do not use the Scuds of yesteryear, Sam. They are using very modern.
Yes, so you got to ask where they got that all that modern stuff, and maybe the people that gave them all that modern stuff are bigger terrorists than they are.
Well, you know, a lot of it came from Russia and China.
Oh, yeah, our most favored nation trading partner. I forgot about that. Okay. I'm joking to highlight the point, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We're all being dishonestly deceived on this. Again, they play games big time. The United States, Russia, and China are the biggest arms dealers in the world, and anybody who has any modern weapon has it from one of those three, basically, is the bottom line.
And the fact that they were able to drop these missiles on with pinpoint accuracy, in other words, 2 hours ahead of time, they said, we're going to hit this place, and we're going to hit that place. And so they got all the military personnel out of the way. The missiles were launched. They hit their targets. No casualties, meaning they didn't,
just did a lot of damage to cost the taxpayers a bunch of money. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. But they were so accurate that they didn't have any collateral damage, right? They didn't hurt anybody. They hurt buildings, but they didn't hurt any personnel. So they proved the accuracy of its ballistic missiles. And if I were, United States, I would be, sobered by the
you know what I would do if it were me?
Advanced technology, yeah.
If it were me, I'd cut off all foreign aid and avoid foreign entanglements like the plague, as the Founding Fathers warned. That's what I'd do.
Well, Sam, they'll just then kill the Kurds, if we get out of there.
And I pray they don't kill the Kurds, and I'll use every influence I can diplomatically to prevent that. But I can't be responsible for the murderous intentions of those around the world. I can just stop murder within my sphere.
Yeah, and it's so sad, Sam, because the U.S. is the biggest bully on the planet. We've killed millions of civilians. It's happening. The genocide is happening right in Yemen right now as we talk. We talked last week about the genocide in Rwanda in 1994. And there's an ongoing genocide in Yemen because Saudi Arabia is hurting and killing the people. And USA is doing the blockade on the port of Hodeida. I mean, we are responsible for so many deaths of the world, Sam, and it's making the world mad at us, at the U.S. regime.
Yes, and eventually it will culminate in the ultimate blowback, which means America will be attacked outright. I pray it doesn't happen, but predict it will because of our actions. There's a way to avoid it, though, and that's turn to God and avoid war and truly stand as a light on a hill, as the true advocate worldwide for peace. But it's going to take a complete 180 in American foreign policy to get that done, that's for sure. Now experts in Iran are saying Ron Paul and Rand Paul are exactly correct. It was a very foolish move, to say the least. Lowell, we love you. Thank you so much for your incredible commentary and detailed work. We appreciate you and all that you do. CampaignForLiberty.org. And for Sam, Kurt, and Lowell, we declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. God save the Republic of the United States of America.